Midday Show, Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us, 215-592-9494, as we react to an all-time Phillies playoff victory. That was incredible, 7-6, Castellanos and Harper playing here, a great at-bat by Stott in the eighth, an incredible at-bat by Turner in the ninth to work the walk, good outing by Sanchez, and the Phillies show the guts we were all waiting for. But there is one issue, obviously, through the first couple games here, Hugh, and that's the bullpen. It was supposed to be the Phillies' strength, or one of their strengths heading into the series. And you know, compared to the Mets, we're supposed to have the better bullpen. Through two games, not really, right? The Phillies' bullpen has struggled.
Not so much, yeah.
It struggled a lot in game one. It struggled again yesterday. All right, how big of a concern is this as we look forward to game number three? Let's hear from Topper on how he's used the bullpen so far.
The way you use your bullpen there late in the game, did you want to get Hoffman and Strom back in there in high-leverage situations? Is that just kind of the way the matchups played out, that you had Strom back in there in the ninth as opposed to guys that you had gone with in the ninth more often this season?
Yeah, I mean, it's just the way it kind of worked out, and those were the pockets that we set up prior to the game for all of those guys. So, you know, the Mets right now are they're putting some slug on our bullpen, so we got to take a look at that.
Well, they're putting a lot of slug on the bullpen. I mean, they can't get Vientos out right now. You had the home run by, you know, Alonso yesterday. You had, you know, obviously what Nimmo did in the seventh inning against Kirker. And they're hitting their bullpen. They got to clean this up. So I am concerned a little bit right now with the bullpen because it's a short series. If they have one more bad day, we're in big trouble here. But Ruben Amaro said something this morning, Hugh, that I thought was interesting. I hadn't thought about it from this perspective.
What would that be?
Well, we talked a lot about the hitters and the time off, you know, the bye. How could it affect them? Listen to Ruben this morning on the bullpen and how they may have been affected by the bye.
These guys are the most affected by those 5 days off because they have complicated deliveries. They have to have pinpoint command. And when they're not in competition, It throws them off. They need regular reps. I do believe in my heart of hearts, the more they pitch, the better they will get. I know they're going to be seen more, but their stuff will be better and their stuff will be sharper. Right now, they're not real sharp with their command. You see Strom not being able to work the inside part of the plate against right-handers, and you see Hoffman not being able to command his slider, which he's done very, very well this season. And that's the reason why these guys are not effective right now. And I do believe as they pitch through this playoffs, I think that they're going to get better and better.
Hugh, what do you make of that? We talked more about the offense being rusty right off the layoff.
Yeah, the timing and the hitting and everything.
We didn't talk about the relievers who are used to throwing, you know, once every two or three days, right? One of those guys is in the game once every two, three, 4 days. They rarely have five straight days without pitching. Maybe Ruben's right. Maybe they needed a day or two to get locked back in. Well, I hope he's right.
I mean, there's something to that, I think. You know, you always worry about when you have time off, especially in the playoff scenario, whether or not you're going to have your fastball or you're going to have your speed moves or whatever it is, whatever sport that you play, you kind of worry about that a little bit. And I always felt like there was a time where, you know, it takes you a little bit of time to work back into the game. Mm. So hopefully these last two games that we just played, hopefully that was the games that we used to work back into it, and now hopefully we're locked in. Just like Cassie said the other day, he had to lock in a little bit, and I've been making jokes about that a little bit. But sometimes it does take a little while for you to get back to that sweet spot that you were in before you actually went on that hiatus.
And maybe the move is more Estevez. I mean, he's a guy the Mets haven't seen much of. They've seen a lot of Hoffman.
He's excited to be here.
Of course he is. He's on a winning team now. He's with the Angels and the Rockies before that. He's been on bad teams. Maybe it's more him. I mean, the Mets have seen a lot of Strom and Hoffman the last 2 years. They haven't seen as much of him. Kyle, it might be as simple as that. Like, they just don't have the book on him. They've seen a lot of Hoffman and Strom since they became Phillies.
That could be that. Honestly, like, what Ruben said actually resonated a lot with me, just because Hoffman, I think, is the one guy that I'm legitimately concerned about, just because he looked like he was leaking a little bit of oil before the playoffs and that layoff. I remember I think I missed that game because I was at a wedding, and I was like, dude, what happened to Hoffman?
The Saturday against the Nets.
Yeah, and you're like, hey, just got hit around a little bit. We're like, okay, you know, put that in the back pocket. That rarely happens. But then it happened again, and it's kind of like, oh, crap. Like, that's not a good sign. Kirkering, I think, is going to be okay. Estevez looked great, so that was good. And Strom had the bad outing at first, but I'm almost okay with that last. Like, Vientos should not have hit that ball, let alone muscled that out of the ballpark. Like, sometimes that was a good pitch by Strom.
Sometimes you got to give credit to the hitters.
Yeah. Like, Strom just got beat on that one. So I'm not overly worried about Matt Strom either. It's really Hoffman that I think I'm worried about. Other than that, like, I think we see some good bounce back performances by this bullpen.
Well, here's what it's really going to matter. Like, I think we all expect Noel to give six tomorrow, if not seven. And hopefully.
At least.
Game four is going to be a de facto bullpen game. It's a Suarez game. Let's hope we're up 2-1 going in. Either way, there's going to be a game four. And that the Phillies could be in the bullpen in the third inning in that game. Like, we can't avoid these guys. You could say, well, use him here, use him here. Whatever order you want to pick on Wednesday night, we're going to see Hoffman, and we're going to see Strom, we're going to see Estevez, we're going to see Kirkering, we're going to see Alvarado. They're all going to pitch Wednesday. We're going to need those guys to pitch well. And, you know, it's the bullpen in the playoffs. You can't not use these guys. Like, every game, even on Saturday, Wheeler was amazing. They still had to cover two innings without him. Like,
yeah, it's all hands on deck, man.
Everyone's going to have to pitch.
Yeah, everybody going to do their job.
Yeah, there's no question. I expect when Topper talks, we'll carry it at 1:30 today. He'll be asked about the bullpen. He'll be asked about the Bohm situation. I'm sure he'll be asked about, you know, how he's going to handle those two things, and maybe, you know, he's going to make any changes there. 215-592-9494. All right, that's the phone call. On the other side, all your phone calls coming up. Your reaction to the win. Do you feel good about this series 1-1 going to New York? Aaron Nola on the mound tomorrow night. What an amazing night last night. Castellanos, Harper, Stott, everyone contributed last night to an incredible victory for the Phillies. We are 1-1 right now across the board of the National League. So, yeah, just quickly, NL, Phillies 1-1 with the Mets, obviously. Padres, Dodgers 1-1. And then we get the two AL series playing tonight. But these NL series are going to be good ones. 215-592-9494. Your reaction to everything Phillies after an all-time victory for the Phillies last night over the Mets. Topper talks at 1:30. Your calls throughout the hour on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Rocky would be so proud. So proud of that win by the Phillies last night.
That's a good win, but I don't, you know, that was a little bit over the top.
Oh. Can we hear Bryce again? I need to hear it again. I want to hear Bryce talk about how Rocky would be proud of that victory last night by the Phillies.
I mean, I thought both teams, man, punch for punch. I said it to the guys. I said Rocky would be proud. You know, never die mentality, man. Just a great game. Thought Sevy threw the ball really well, obviously. But being able to kind of get a couple runs on and just keep that going. Vientos won the bat well. But, you know, punch for punch, man. Came back, won that game. Big at bat by Stotter. Happy birthday to him. And then, obviously, Cassidy coming through. Just huge.
Print those shirts. Rocky would be proud. What's the thing on the shirt? Is it an image of Bryce after he scores the run in the eighth, or is it the home run swing? The Rocky would be proud.
Maybe Rocky looking from above, with an approving nod.
Yeah, I like that. Like Rocky above Citizens Bank Park, shining down from above.
That would be awesome.
Would you not wear it? I would. I'd buy it in 10 seconds.
I would wear the shirt for the corny factor, because it's corny.
What's corny about
corny,
this?
It's representing one of the great wins in Philly's history.
The song is great.
Think this is corny, Hugh?
Yes. No, the song is great. No question about it. He went a little bit overboard with his analogy. That's it. But he's on brand.
You know what this means, though?
He's on brand.
If this leads to a championship, we have a couple moments here that could live forever. Rocky would be proud, and these bleeping people. I mean, like,
these bleeping people is the one for me, though.
It's so good.
I like that one. I don't know why, because it just embodies how he feels about it. Like, I am a fan of somebody being honest about how they feel about it.
Oh, he's real. Castellanos is real.
I'm honest about it. And I like that, because there's no gray area with him. He's not a fan. He doesn't like us.
No,
but
I think
he respects us.
I think there's a mutual
love-hate situation.
Yeah, I don't think Castellanos hates it here. I think
he hates how the fans are sometimes. Well, and that's fine.
But I think he understands it.
Yeah, I think he does too. Lock in, well, and we love you.
You can understand it, but you don't have to like it.
No, of course. No, but I think it's more of a respect thing than like a disdain.
It's one of those things, man, where when people say, well, what do you think about Philly fans? They're different. That's not endearing.
I think we've all had a moment like this where someone different that you like or you know, and you're like, man, this sleeping. Like, you say it to yourself, like, this guy again. That's what I thought it was. Like, I've had plenty of moments like this freaking guy.
Don't get me wrong, because I don't have a problem with it. I like the fact that the diehard fans, you have moments where they can be a little irritating, but you get past a little irritating part and you become like the best of buzz.
It reminded me of the Boehm bleeping hate this place thing.
Yeah.
And the other similarities that they both kind of owned it after the game. Like, Nick Cassianos didn't come out and said, yeah, I said this. But he was like, no, I was frustrated.
Yeah, he didn't say what I would, like, he didn't pretend.
Yeah.
And he could. I think these players have realized there's too many cameras and too much social media. If you say something, we know.
Well, oh, no, they caught that one.
You can't, like, lie it through.
Well, the other thing they can't do is they can't tout how much they love playing in front of the home fans and then piss them off.
Well, and they're also, let's be real, let's all just take a deep breath. They're lucky they won the game. And Cassianos lucky. He won the game.
Oh, it would have been different. It would have been a different conversation today if they wouldn't have won.
It would have been hell.
And now, if they do manage to get out of this, this song has to go in the video yearbook.
That's right.
You know, it's funny.
That's right.
I don't know how you watch, but as the game was progressing and as we start to get ready for the day, I'm sitting there and I'm like, man, 3-0. Oh, tomorrow. Ooh, that's going to be a rough.
My mind is going to the offseason and at 3-0 in the sixth inning. Like, we're screwed.
I was like, oh, that's going to be a bad one. Ooh.
And they turned it around.
They turned it around.
They have life again. David in Westchester. What's up, David?
Hugh Douglas, don't you ever, ever apologize.
I wasn't going to apologize. I appreciate the backup. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. I got your back, although we're probably going to get our ass kicked, but that's okay. now, Joe. You're like a little bully to Hugh. You need to lighten up on him.
Bully? I'm trying to get. I'm guiding this guy in the right direction. You know what? Shut up.
But as far as these two games, game one put me right into PTSD of watching the last couple of years with all that, you know, quote unquote free swinging. And due to that, I really don't have a great outlook for this team. And like you had just said. Yesterday, I was thinking of the offseason. And in the offseason, no matter what happens with this team, they need changes. They need more discipline at the plate, and they don't have the players for that now. You know, Kevin Long, this great batting guru coach, you know, I don't see it because their plate discipline has to be one of the worst in baseball. And, you know, it's we're looking at the same result of, you know, in a short series, one or two cold games, and you're done. And, you know, they just need – I say get rid of Trey Turner, get rid of Cassianos, bring up A.J. Miller, bring up Crawford Jr., and let them fill the two holes and go from there and see if we can't change the atmosphere a little bit on this.
Well, those guys will probably be here eventually, especially the A.J. Miller thing. And, David, we appreciate the phone call. It's easier said than done. I mean, like, Trey Turner is owed $30 million a year until he's in his 40s. Yeah, I mean, he's – we're probably going to have to live with that one and hope he ages okay as time goes on. I mean, there were reports they tried to move Cassianos last year and no one wanted him. I'm glad they didn't move him. They need him. As much as Cassianos frustrates all of us at times, they need him. He's their cleanup hitter right now as they're trying to win the World Series. They don't win that game yesterday without Nick Cassianos. Like, sometimes with players, you have to live with the bad because you get the good. That's where I'm at with Cassianos. Like,
yeah,
he's flawed, but... they need him.
Yeah, and that's why he was one of the only cats that play every game this year.
Yeah.
Because they let him work his way out of it.
I think you can make the argument that both contracts, Trey Turner, Nick Cassianos, Cassianos has been more worth it.
I agree with that. I think now Trey's a better baseball player just overall. And he should be. Right? He's paid three times as much.
That's why he's worth more as the player that you thought you signed.
Yeah, I mean, and also
player we got Cassianos has been better.
Yeah, and long term, Cassianos' contract's not going to hover over them. It's got two more years left on it. We got to do this for how many more years with Trey?
Mm-hmm.
Nine.
Cassianos has come through for them more in the postseason too.
He has. I mean, Trey had one big series last year, right?
But
the Braves.
Cassianos has catches. Better defense than Trey Turner.
That ninth inning catch by Cassianos was pretty good yesterday. The Phillies' defense yesterday was actually a big part that we haven't spent a lot of time on,
except for.
So
who they brought in for energy.
I know.
And made an error.
But the grab that stopped me when he left, I thought for sure that was a run. Like I said, Mets scored again when the ball went off the bat, and then somehow he grabbed it in midair. Bryce made some good plays at first base. They really got good defense yesterday. And Hugh, you said this on Friday, and yesterday was the epitome of it. Small things win the game, right? Their defense.
Fundamental.
And then, They had good at-bats. And you know, well, there was a moment when JT knocked the sixth run in just by making contact when the third baseman couldn't catch the ball. Like, that wins you games.
Yeah, but that was what – that's basically what Ruben Amaro Jr. was saying. We got a chance to talk to him. He was like, hey, in order for this team to win, they got to play good defense, and they have to move runners. They got to move runners and put people in scoring position and play small ball. That's he said all of that.
Yeah, look, both teams are going to hit some home runs. There's power hitters. There's slug on both teams. But those little things are going to win these games. And the Phillies, they got it yesterday on the way to a series-tying victory. 215-592-9494. All right, on the other side, your phone calls. And we're listening to Rob Thompson's press conference up in New York. Game 3, they're doing a workout today at Citi Field. Topper will talk there. We'll bring it to you. I'm sure he'll be asked about Alec Bohm. I can't wait to hear what he says about Bohm, his decision making, then we'll go into the lineup. I don't think he's going to give away his lineup for tomorrow today. Maybe he will, but I doubt it. But we'll get a little insight from Topper, what he's thinking for his Game 3 lineup, and we know Nola is on the mound tomorrow night. 215-592-9494. It's the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Guess what? A lot of us, including myself, the hairline, as you get older, it changes, and that's okay. You went to see it. I saw an expert, Dr. Roth. He's the doctor I trust the most at Precision Hair Restoration. He opened my eyes to the cutting-edge Artis IX robotic hair transplant, and it's a procedure everyone with thinning hair should consider. Are you new to a single, have an upcoming wedding or job interview, or just want your hair back? Dr. Roth can help. Call Dr. Roth now, 215-800-9100. That's 215-800-9100, and get your confidence back, or visit PhillyHairMD.com, PhillyHairMD.com.
Rob, when your bullpen's been a strength all year, especially a guy like Strom, how do you balance maybe him not having the last couple nights with trusting your guys in the biggest games of the season moving forward?
Well, I think you have to trust them, you know. They've been performing all year long. It's just a matter of execution. But these guys adjust all the time, and they've been so good all year, I think you have to trust them.
With Strom specifically, it's not like he's lost his control. If anything, he's throwing just a ton of strikes. They're swinging almost everything. Is he just leaving a few too many pitches up right now, or what have you seen from him the last two nights?
Yeah, over the middle of the plate, a little bit more than normal. He's usually got pretty good command. The ball goes where he wants to throw it usually. So, again, it just gets down to some execution. He'll get it.
Okay. Here in the middle.
Hi, Rob. How much does a win like last night give the team sort of a release? Like, did you notice that the energy among the team is any different today than it was yesterday morning?
Well, first of all, the win's huge. Obviously, any win in the playoffs is huge. But getting down 0-1 in your own ballpark, that was a pretty big game. I mean, really big game. But I don't really get a sense of anything changed. With them today as opposed to yesterday. They come in, they have fun every day, and, you know, workmanlike type of atmosphere. So I think everything's pretty much the same.
Okay, going back on the left, Alex.
Bullpen's been a strength for most of the season. Can you think of any reason why they might be struggling as a group right now?
Not really. You know, and I think like hitting, like your starting rotation, your bullpen, it's contagious one way or the other. So we just got to kind of snap out of this thing and start executing pitches and, you know, hitting our spots. And like I said, they will. I have full confidence in them.
Can I get over here to Matt on the back and the right?
What is your sense of Bohm's current headspace, and do you still intend to play him tomorrow?
Oh, yeah, he's playing tomorrow. And I think he's in a good spot. He was just in there hitting in the cages and getting his work in. I'm not sure if he's going to hit on the field today or not. So, but yeah, I think he's fine.
And will both Stott and Marsh sit tomorrow?
Oh, we'll see.
Okay, on the left here, down front.
Hey, Rob, is Ranger definitely your Game 4 starter, or is there a chance, depending on how that goes, that Wheeler could come back Game 4?
No, Ranger could pitch Game 4.
You going to stay there with Paul on the left?
Rob, one more bullpen question.
Okay.
The one high-leverage guy that you haven't used yet is Alvarado. Command has been his issue. As each time passes that he hasn't pitched, how much more concerned do you get that command will be a problem when he does?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, I think we need to get him into a game for sure. When he pitched in the inter-squad game on Wednesday, he was really good, really efficient, hit his spots. But, yeah, he's a guy that needs work, consistent work, to maintain that command.
Okay, we're going to go back over here on the right to Matt.
Estevez threw eight pitches in that eighth inning. What was your reasoning for not maybe going back to him there for a ninth?
Just because he hasn't done that in a long time, you know. That's really what it came down to. He did his job, and I felt really good about Strom, even though he had a little bit of a struggle the night before. I felt really good about him in that pocket. And it just didn't work out. But.
And do you intend to use Ruiz in bigger spots, or just because you were down in that game at that moment that you weren't going to turn to one of your maybe higher leverage guys there?
Well, I consider Ruiz somewhat of a high leverage guy. I really do. He's pitched well for us. He just left a pitch up in the zone, you know. But other than that, he threw the ball pretty good. And we had to cover four innings one way or the other, and it was still tight. So we were going to use all our leverage guys there.
Anything else for Rob? We good? Thanks, Rob.
Thank you. Okay.